Some of you know that if you know me, I can't remember the last time I did a topical sermon. I'm pretty much starting a book of the Bible. We've been going through Jonah. That's normally what I do. We kind of finished up with Jonah. This weekend was Memorial Day. I do have a Memorial Day sermon today that honors Christ. But also you know that we're going to be moving around a little bit today. So we'll start in Romans chapter 13. It's in this pocket. Romans 13, and basically it's the verse, as we mentioned earlier, this is Memorial Day weekend, that we do remember, memorialize those that have fallen in wars so that we might have the rights that we enjoy. You know, you heard me pray earlier about how lavishly God has poured out his blessings on us as a nation, and I was in a prison unit Thursday night. I was doing ministry, for those that are wondering. I was there for ministry purposes, and but I was talking to some of the guys there how, you know, the United States, we have about 4.5% of the U.S., of the world population. We have about 35% of the world's wealth in this nation. I believe 100% that as we as a nation, we're founded on biblical principles. We acknowledge God as our Lord. I know there's a big friction over that right now in our culture. But interestingly, last week, you remember on May 17th when Trump rededicated our nation, I mentioned last week that was 250 years to the day, May 17th, 1776, just a few short weeks before our independence, Declaration of Independence, that our some of the founding fathers of our nation did it then too. And they said, if we're going to go into this war, if we're going to declare independence, we can only do it if the hand of God and his providence is upon us. So that first day, May 17th, 1776, President Trump did it last week on the 250th anniversary of that day. You can go all the bells and whistles and all the arguments. I am convinced this nation is blessed, not because we're smarter than other people, we work harder. All those things may be true, not because we're in Texas, and Texas is the best state in the union, obviously. Is Bruce still here? Bruce, I saw Bruce sneaking around. He's from New Jersey, but in any event. I think it's because of the hand of God has been upon us. There is no reason that we would have these blessings, especially my best friend here. I want to remind you, Trish, we love having kids in our group. I would rather have 100 kids making noise in here than dead silence and not have any kids here. So when they are screaming and yelling like that, I just mark it off as they're yelling hallelujah, hallelujah. They're saying hallelujah in the only way they know. So if you've got disruptive kids like my, Aaron's parents, then or Stacy's, yeah. But please bring your kids and your grandkids. We'd much rather have them here. And if there's a spill, there's a spill. We want people in church, so bring them, and we love having them. But this verse here in Romans, I just said again. I mentioned earlier, I don't normally do topical. It's not my style. If you're visiting with us today, we started a book of the Bible. We went through all of Mark verse by verse. In Bible study, we're doing Philippians verse by verse. On Wednesday nights, we're going through Genesis. I think we're in Genesis 42 this Wednesday night. We started in Genesis 1:1, and we just work right through the whole book of the Bible. That's much more my style. But we kind of finished up with Jonah pretty much last week, and I didn't know what to do next, and I just felt we should, this is on. If you're regular, you know me and technology. We're not the best of friends. Memorial Day does remind us it's a day of freedom is costly. And folks, I'm going to mention this as we talk about freedoms today and Memorial Day. All in the forefront, not the backdrop, but the forefront is what Christ has done for us. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I've got a lot of them, is that Christ gave us liberty for the sake of liberty. That's the point of it. Why did he come? We were all slaves and captives of sin and the grave, and death, and the devil. And God has set us free from that. We are free from that. So as we look about Memorial Day weekend and the soldiers that have gone ahead of us, for our physical freedoms, I am much more glad to God the Father and to Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, as we just read a moment ago, that gave us spiritual freedom. The grave has no hold over you if you're a believer in Christ. If you're in Christ, that's one of my favorite, two words in the Bible, in Christ. What a difference that makes, to be in the world or to be in Christ. In Philippians last Sunday, we mentioned there's two addresses, well, a couple of them. You're the type of Christian, Philippians 1:21, which Paul says, I count all things nonsense for the cause of Christ. To me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If you put any other word there, to live is fishing, then when you die, what happens? To live is my favorite hobby, reading books, writing stuff, or needlepoint, or whatever it is. Here's one for Don. To me, to go surfing. Yeah, Don's a big surfer. They're going to Hawaii for a couple months shortly. But anything you put there, to die is, it's the end. But if you put in the word Christ, to live is Christ, that's just the beginning. You have all eternity with Christ. Any other word doesn't fit there. That's okay, but when you die, what happens? It's the end. And then you have Philippians 2:21 that says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Which Christian are you? The one that lives life joyfully, rejoicing, thankful for the liberty that Christ has poured out on us so lavishly, or to do stuff in the world for selfishness and vain conceit or vain ambition? So Memorial Day reminds us to have gratitude for those that have laid down their lives in service, while we also declare the greater gospel truth. So we remember that. We remember those sacrifices people have made, but we must keep our focus. As I prayed earlier, the main thing has to keep the main thing. The main thing in our Christian walk is Jesus Christ. So we must keep declaring the greater gospel truth that Jesus Christ laid down his life to save sinners. Guess who that means? That's everybody. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The cross gives us the deepest meaning of sacrificial love. And then this verse, Romans 13:7, says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, and honor to honor. Thanks, Aaron. Aaron, they're both in the garden. Aaron's a rank or two above Timothy. So when I told Aaron this morning, when we get to that verse, see if Timothy doesn't do something. He goes, well, I'm not in uniform, but... But if you know the guard, Timothy's, I think you're applied to be a chaplain, maybe with the guard. I assume that's where you're headed. And as a chaplain, he'll be a second lieutenant, which then he'll pass Aaron up. And the, there's all those dynamics at play. So he said he'd be, yeah, very good, yeah. But when we render honor to those who honor, I remember my dad, he was a Marine recon guy early in life. And I remember later in life with a glass eye, missing fingers, broken backs, broken neck, stealing his neck, and just beat up. We'd be somewhere, and you'd hear the flag walk go by, or there'd be these weekends, you'd see him get up and stand up and salute. And I always thought, boy, that he is dialed in. He'd be the same thing that I mentioned in Bible study today with General Hummer. He said, although I'm a Marine, I'm a Christian first. I want to be known as a Christian above all else. And so we see those, and as we render to honor those who honors do, who do we ultimately owe the ultimate honor to? Christ. That has to be our focus. No matter what else goes on in this world, we must keep our primary focus on Jesus Christ and render honor to Christ. He laid our lives down for him in death, are willing to live our lives in life for him. You know, and that's really what the whole goal of making disciples is. We have to live our lives, not so people know who we are, but we must live our lives so people know who Christ is. And we remember the cost and love of freedom. We remember with a grateful, faithful gratitude. And folks, we remember that we have a living hope in Christ. We of all people should be just the most joyful people that ever existed. I mentioned this a few weeks ago too. If you're a Christian and you live in Texas, I just don't know if it gets any better until heaven. And heaven will be better. But if you have those two things already, it is just wonderful. Absolutely joyful and marvelous, wonderful, the Lord's given us. So we remember the cost of freedom in Romans 6:17. And this verse, really, I think, Donna, you may have mentioned this one a few weeks ago. I'm not sure. Someone mentioned this to me. But God be thanked. What were we to sin? It says we were slaves to sin. When you see someone that's not saved, or is maybe early in their regenerative process, they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they still have a lot of habits, they're slaves. Some people are slaves to sin. Meaning when the devil comes and says, do this, they don't have an option. Satan is their master. Christ come into the world to break that chain. You know, we sing that song, he's a chain breaker. He has broken that chain. You are no longer a slave or a servant a follower of the devil. You're a follower of Christ. And only it's because of the blood of Christ that gives us that right to tell Satan no. James tells us, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Thank you, Chris. We'll give the Lord a clap. Yeah. But that's for the Lord always. But when Satan comes and attacks you as a believer, you have every right to resist him and say no. There are some people that have no ability to say no to their addictions. Really, they're addictions of sin. It could be a pill, could be a bottle, could be whatever. But they are slaves to sin. But it says, but yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. We were delivered from that. Romans 5:8. That's another, man, I got so many favorite verses today. While we were sinners, not when we were, if God said, I'm only going to love those that are perfect and holy, who would God love? We would be of all people most miserable. We would have no hope. But God, for whatever reason, I'll tell you I do know the reason. God is love, that's why. It has zero bearing on you. It has everything to do on God's character. I tell myself so often, I would not pick me to be a pastor. I know me. I know what goes on in my head at night. I know what I think on the week. I know, you know, someone cuts me off in traffic, what I think about that. Someone going 65 in the fast lane. What are they thinking? That's 85. Yeah. I say those things to see who laughs, because then I know who's with me on that one. Yeah. People don't put their carts back. What, Ron, was it you? Who said about putting their carts back in the carousel? Yeah, those people put their carts, just walk away from the middle of the parking lot of the Kroger's. But all those things, and I've said this too, folks, and you've heard it, I'm sure, when it says God loved Jacob and hated Esau, and people say, well, why in the world does God hate Esau? And by far the bigger question is, why in the world would God love Jacob? We've been going through Genesis. We've talked about this on our Wednesday night meetings. Who was Jacob? Trickster, liar, scoundrel, lied to his dad. Just his whole life was just marked with deception and lies and trickery. But for some reason, God loved him. And I'll tell you today, no matter what you are, who you are, what you've done, where you've been, I want to absolutely drive this nail home. God loves you. He absolutely loves you. It doesn't matter. We just read, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We saw that verse a moment ago. Greater love has no man that lays down his life for his friends. There is no greater love that Christ can show or that God can show than sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for your sins so that you might have liberty. In Bible study, we're in Philippians, talking in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul was rebuking a group of people that were coming in saying, yes, you got to believe in Christ, but it's Christ and these other things. Folks, that's not, if you have to earn your salvation, it's not salvation. If I say I earned my salvation, and something happens to me, I go to heaven and God says, why do I let you in? And I say, because look what a good person I am. I gave a tenth. God, I've earned this, and because I've earned it, you owe me to open the door. You know how much pride and hubris would be in that statement to say you can earn your salvation? To say I earned it? The law points out, I've got some friends that are Jewish, and I tell them all the time, guys, the law points out our failures. It doesn't lead us to salvation. The righteousness of the law does not lead to salvation. It's the blood of Christ, the atoning blood of Christ on a cross that gets us saved. That's it, and that's only it. And again, I used earlier this morning an example. If I go to the dentist and he says, you've got a cavity, and he puts a little stick with a mirror on the end in my mouth and says, I can see the cavity. It's pointed out the problem. How foolish it would be for me to hold onto that mirror and say, I'm going to fix my cavity by sucking on this mirror all day. I'm going to use the mirror to fix the cavity. Does the mirror fix it or point it out? That's the law. The law points out sin. It says you can't be perfect. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say to you, if it crosses your mind one time, you're guilty of all of it. You've heard it said, thou shalt not steal. But I say, if you even think about stealing, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. But if you hate your brother, you've broken one, you've broken them all. Then who can have the righteousness of God? We cannot have the righteousness of God. We cannot be free from sin because of what we do. You must get in your mind is because of what Christ did for us. The perfect beloved, begotten, only begotten Son of God came to this earth to die for me. It's 100% what he did. So this verse, God demonstrates his love toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. I just breaks my heart to people thinking, if I'm just good enough, if I just follow the law closely enough, if I just, you know, give a tenth, if I just follow all these rules, then I'll be right with God. You will be far, far from him. Only through the blood of Christ can we have salvation and freedom. We remember the cost of freedom in Romans 6:23. This last week, they're not here today. I don't think they'd mind me saying this. I know we're broadcasting. I was talking to Susan and Ed were in my office. We were looking at some things about the school and books and curriculum. And I had a phone call from someone that said, hey, we need to come and be baptized. I said, okay, great. That's wonderful. I'd love to be honored to be baptized. You tell me about your salvation. Well, that's why we want to get baptized. Because if something happens, we want to go to heaven. So we want to get water baptized for salvation. And I went right down this verse, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, part of the Roman road. If you've got that background, you'll know what I'm talking about. We went kind of down the Roman road within about 20 or 30 minutes. She said, my husband's here. Let me put it on speaker. We talked back and forth. Within about 20 minutes, they both said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. I was just absolutely thrilled with that news, hearing just someone on a phone call say that. And the reason while they were talking, I was praying. I was on the phone like, Lord, open their eyes. Please, Lord, it's not going to get better than now. I can feel your spirit drawing them based on their questions. We love Jesus. We want to go to heaven. We want to be with God for eternity. We don't want to die in our sins. And like water baptism will not wash away your sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that washes away sin. So just within 20 to 30 minutes, they both, Lord Jesus, forgive me a sinner. Folks, that is exactly keeping the main thing the main thing. So John 15:13, as I said a moment ago too, greater love is no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. We were enemies of Christ. Now, while we may have been enemies and far from him, he looked at us and said, you're my friend. I am so glad. My grandfather used to say, one of his favorite nine words in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave. He said that was one of the most famous nine verses in his world. He said, I just love those things that God loved me so much, he gave his son to die for me. The other one he said was Jesus, Friend of Sinners, the song. Did anyone know the song? Jesus, Friend of Sinners? He said, sinners, that was me. When it says Jesus, Friend of Sinners, in the Bible it says, who is this man that's a friend of sinners? I love that title of Jesus. What if he said, Jesus is friend of only the perfect people? Jesus is friend of only Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. Jesus is friends of only Jews. Jesus is friends of only people that climbed Mount Everest. You can have all those blanks, but Jesus, friend of sinners. And when it says all have sinned, he's a friend to all of us. And he laid down his life for all of us. It's amazing to me that not only did he lay down his life for the world, he laid his life down individually for me. Had I been the only one? And we know that because of the parables where he says, who leaves the 99 and goes finds the one? Folks, you were the one that he left the 99 for. I don't see how such great a love, we would reject that great love. How anyone in the world hearing this story would reject it. Psalm 82:3-4 says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Folks, this is exactly the church. When we see the world lost and fatherless, they don't have a spiritual father. They don't have God as their father. Who is fatherless then in the spiritual realm? Anyone who does not have God as their father is lost. I said earlier, I spend a lot of time in the Middle East, and people say, well, about this and that and Muslims. And I've said this before, and I want to be on record. I love Muslims. I hate Islam. Islam's a religion. Muslim are the people. Islam's leading millions of people straight to hell. Muslims are not our enemy. They're not who we're fighting. They're who we're fighting for. We need to be with them and any other group. Any group that does not know God the Father through Jesus Christ is going to hell. They're not our enemy. We have to see them as Christ sees them. We don't fight against them. We fight for them. We want to bring them in. Defend the weak and the fatherless. They are fatherless spiritually. They don't have a spiritual father named God. They can't go to prayer. God doesn't hear them when they cry out. The only time he's going to hear them when they cry out, forgive me, a sinner. He'll hear that. But all the other stuff, they don't answer. I mentioned years ago, I'll tell her name, Grace Phillips. She lives in Peachtree, Georgia now. She used to be a missionary. her and her husband in the Middle East in Beirut, Lebanon. They were there about 25, 30 years. We were at a prayer meeting one night, and this guy came in. He was dressed up from like 2,000 years ago. He was a chieftain in the Bekaa Valley. He, big, long beard and raised sheep, and you could smell him, all that goes with that. He came in and said, you know, our daughter's dying. She's about 10. They say she made 10 years. It means they're not quite 10, but they're in their 10th year. She made 10 years old. She's got cancer. We took her to the doctors. They say she's dying. She's lost 20, 30 pounds. We have prayed. We have done everything we could. We've done alms. We have nothing to do. And someone said, go to the Christians. See if they'll pray. So they came to us, and he came to us, just him, and there was a group of about 7 or 8 praying. And he said, pray for my daughter that she would be healed. And they prayed, and Grace Phillips would tell you, when he left, it's like, well, when his daughter dies, what are we going to say? How do we explain why did Jesus let his daughter die? Well, I had come back home at that time, and couple weeks later, Grace called and said, do you remember the guy that came in that night? He said, well, how could I forget? You know, it's pretty unusual. And she said, he came back. And I said, what'd you tell him? It's not what we told him, it's what he told us. He said he came back with his wife and with tears of happiness saying, we went home and our daughter was healed. And when he came back home, and folks, I'm telling you, this is eyewitness accounts. There are people that are alive today. He said, I went home and my daughter came out to meet us. She hadn't been in bed in 2 or 3 weeks. She came out to greet us. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, a man in white told me I'm healed to get up. Now, you can believe whatever you want. I'm telling you, there are people alive today that said, we saw that, we're eyewitnesses to that story. There's a chieftain in the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon today on the Syrian border that goes up and down the Bekaa Valley that says, the name Jesus has power over sin and death and illness. He's an eyewitness to it. Now, again, you can believe what you want, but when you see those stories, you know the same God that's in this Bible we talk about, the same Jesus? You know it's the same Jesus today? And we were thinking, man, what little faith do we have? Lord, heal his daughter. Well, what do we say when she dies? God will not be limited by what we're doing. God had a bigger purpose. So I find that an amazing story that's in the world today of someone saying the name of Jesus has power over disease. That was Jesus. And he'll tell you that was Jesus' name that healed her, nothing else. We tried everything else. Took her to the Western doctors. The doctors looked at her. Cancer's gone. And I've heard this before here in the States too, when people are prayed over and they're healed. Sometimes, like my dad had pancreatic cancer. He got diagnosed on April 1st, said, I hope to make May 1st so your mom gets my Social Security check next month. But he was gone, he passed on May 1st, he had 30 days. And we prayed to heal him, and people said, well, you know, what happened? I said, he's healed. He's absolutely healed. I 100% believe my dad's healed today in heaven. That's what Christ has given us. We're not there yet, but when we talk about a living hope, we don't grieve. Now, some of us grieve when we have loss. That's a natural part of our human condition. But we do not grieve as the lost grieve that have no hope. We do have a hope. We have a hope that we will see him again. Do y'all know Margie, Joey Lentz's mom? He passed away on duty in the Army. Margie Taylor. She's a Gold Star mom. I called her Friday or talked to her and said, you know, I'll be thinking of you this weekend, praying for you. And I said, what a glorious day when we all get to heaven. Amen. And we're reunited in heaven. We have that hope. I could not imagine going through this world without Jesus. Is life hard with Jesus? Do we suffer loss, pain, suffering? We do. We have the same things the world has. But we also have Jesus. That changes everything. So we remember, as we remember our those that have fallen in the military this week, and I want to, again, keep remembering, we focus on Jesus more than anything else and what he's done for us. So we're commanded to defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy. Folks, all these are people that are lost. They are desperate. When I think sometimes of a person that says to be right with God, I have to strap a vest on that's got bombs on it, walk into a school and blow it up. How desperate are they for God's love when they're willing to do that? I know it's terrible, but that's pretty desperate. They've bought into the lie of the devil. They are needy and weak, and they need to be delivered from the hand of the wicked one. That's our job. That's 100% our job to do that. We remember with faithful gratitude. A lot of times through the Bible, it says remember, remember, build up these rocks together as a remembrance. Do these, you know, when they walked into Jericho, it said in the water when the water cleared out, I said, put these rocks there in the middle, and on the other side, put an altar. So when your children say, what are these? You'll say, this is when the Lord delivered us. We should have those mile markers. If not in our homes, we should certainly have them in our minds. Where has God delivered us? Yes, it's salvation, but along that way of sanctification, salvation's free. Who's glad salvation's free? Oh my goodness. I am so glad salvation's free and I didn't have to earn it. Sanctification is the process we're in now. This process of we need to encourage and lift up one another and help one another. I love that story that I mentioned a few weeks ago of it was the Olympics for the Special Olympics. And the kids were running and a kid way out was out front and he heard his friend crying and he looked back and one of his friends had stumbled and fallen and holding his knee and had road rash on his knee and tore up a little bit. And the kids slowed down, walked back. One by one, each runner stopped, walked back, got their friend, picked him up, linked arms, and they all went up to the finish line and looked and all stepped across together. Wouldn't it be great if Christians worked like that? And not me first, but hey, my brother's in need, my sister's in need. I'm going to go back and pick them up and help them because one day that might be me that he's picking up and helping. And I put my brothers pick me up. What's that? Have you all heard the saying that Christians are the only group that shoot their own? Yeah, I've heard that a lot in my life. What? You sin? Bam! You know, where's my bag of rocks? But we're not to be that way. Yes, we're to speak the truth in love. Brother, sister, you're going down a road that's not good for you. I love you. I care about you. How can I help? What can I do? Can I pray for you? What more can I do than prayer? That's who we are. Even our brothers and sisters need help, and sometimes we do as well. So remember them. God calls us people to remember. Biblical remembrance is not passive nostalgia. It's not just, oh yeah, I remember Christmas as a kid, and we don't just get, does anyone know the word maudlin? Is that a term you all use? You get to maudlin, just remembering old times. We're not remembered to just do that, but to talk about and to keep our attitude of gratitude that shapes how we live. Look what the Lord got me through. Paul, are you glad that you have a church family from 2 weeks ago?
Amen.
Paul and Bess are up in Pennsylvania. Bess breaks her leg, can't drive back, 5-day trip. Paul calls the church family. We say, Paul, you and Bess fly back. Tommy and Joy flew up, found their car, took the keys, drove it back. That's just family. Yeah, you know, that's God's family. And Bess said, I'm really dreading a 5-day trip home in a car with a broken leg and the pain she was in. And the doctor said a 5-day trip in a car going back to Texas is going to be very difficult. Paul made a call, and just within 24, 48 hours, the church said, you're not alone. We're coming up to get you. We'll drive up to get you, drive you back. We'll figure it out. Anyway, it worked out. They flew back. Tommy and Joy flew up, drove the car back. I just say that, folks, as a glory to God. Amen. That's how family behaves. Our brother and sister was in need, and the church family said, you're family. And that has left an impact on me, both situations. Y'all's tender hearts and y'all's willingness to jump in and serve. God calls us people to remember. On Memorial Day, remembering the fallen should move us to humility, honor, in a renewed sense of responsibility before God. When we look at what men and women in uniform have done for us, more importantly, when we look at what Christ has done for us, how in the world can we look at what Christ has done for us and not do the same for others? And not look at them through the eyes that Christ had when he looked upon us when we were in our sin and our mess. We look upon the lost and desperate need of a Savior. That's where our eyes should be spiritually. We should look upon those things as upon people as Christ looks upon them. Psalm 2, 6, and 7, if you can read that, it says, I've installed my king on Mount Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Matthew 17:5 says, he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Those last three words are pretty important. Listen to him. So Psalm tells us that the Father has a son, Old Testament. He says, I have a son, a begotten son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. New Testament, a voice from heaven with witnesses says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. What did Jesus say? Who did Jesus say he was? I'll tell you this now, I stand on this. That old, what's that book, Liar, Lunatic, or Lord? Can't remember who wrote it. It said, you must answer the question, who is Jesus? He's the world's biggest charlatan. He has had more impact on this world than any other human being. Absolutely. Whether you believe in him or not, this world had more impact by a Jewish carpenter named Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. than any other human. If what he said was a lie, he should be held in derision. If he was a nutcake, you know, Sun Young Moon and Jim Jones and David Koresh and all these other people that say they're the Messiah, they're this, they're that, we in our lifetime, we know they're crazy. So Jesus is either a liar or he's a lunatic. He's either lying or he's crazy or he's Lord. You cannot say, I believe in Jesus, he's a good person. Because the words he said, I am the way and the only way. I am the life and the only life. I am the truth and the only truth. No one comes to the Father but through me. Is that true or not? Is he lying or telling the truth? I've determined he's told the truth. I believe my only access to God the Father is through what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. Amen. He took my sin debt and paid it in full. And without him, I have no access to the Father. Only because of what Jesus did. And again, I urge you, whether you're here today or watching at home, you have to decide that too. Is he a liar? Was he crazy? Or does he say who he says he is? And if he says who he is, and I believe who he is, what he says, he's not a liar, that should change my thinking about him. That should change my response to him. I should call him Lord. I mentioned that some people say, I want Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. Folks, I don't know what your theology is on this. I don't think you can have him as Savior if he's not Lord. You can say, I believe he died on the cross, but I'm not going to yield to him. You have the same doctrine that the devil has. The devil believes Jesus died on the cross. The devil believes he rose again. The devil believes he was buried. The devil believes he's coming back. The devil's not going to heaven. He's not yielded to him as Lord. Now, who's looking for that day when one day we will see Satan himself, Lucifer, kneel down? I'm looking for that day. It said every knee will bow and declare him Lord. Folks, it is so much better to do that while you're alive and you have the opportunity to. Because there's appointed him once to die and then judgment. I talked to someone a few weeks ago. Said, when I get to heaven, if it's true, I'll just plead mercy at the gate. I know. It's like, are you kidding me? That is nowhere in the Bible that you get to plead mercy at the gate. There's that story of the two guys. This is a story. It's not based on a true story. These two guys go to heaven. They're at the pearly gates. I should preface that with it's not a true story. Peter's there. Why do I let you in? And one guy says, well, I sang in the praise team. I went to seminary. I went to Liberty University. I went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, a real school. No, I'm just kidding you, man. I served in the military. I taught Sunday school. I gave tithes and offerings. I brought my big, thick, black Bible to church every Sunday. I wore a suit and tie to church. You should let me, because look at all I did. And St. Peter says, that's not enough. And the guy walks away. He asks the next guy, why do I let you in? He said, if that guy doesn't get in, the only way I'm getting in is by the grace of God. And the doors opened up and they welcomed him in. Folks, that's how we're getting in, is by the grace of God. We sang today, amazing grace. That's why we're getting in. Again, you completely miss it if you think it's based on you. Completely miss it. It's 100% based on God. And again, I find it very prideful for a human to say, I'm going to earn my way to salvation. I'm going to earn my way where God owes me. So into his kingdom. It's vain deceit. You're not getting there based on what you've done. So we see a voice from heaven, the Father, shouts out from heaven, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Once you accept that and you listen to Jesus, I urge you, accept him as your Lord and Savior. We remember that we have a living hope in Christ Jesus. Christ has defeated death and the grave. John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that or not? If someone says, I don't believe that, you have no hope. You cannot take the totality of Scripture or even small portions of it and earn somehow your way. There's nowhere in this book does it describe any way that you can earn your way in. 100% what Christ has done. Our great high priest. If you read the book of Hebrews, our great high priest, what he's done for us. We remember our living hope. 1 Thessalonians, it says, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. I alluded that a little bit ago. I just don't know what you do. I've done a few funerals where the family has said, you know, they rejected Christ, wanted nothing to do with them. We never heard any statement. You know how hard those funerals are? They're brutal. They're hard because there is no comfort you can give to the grieving family of someone that's lost their loved one to death that's not a believer. There is no, well, you'll see him again. We'll all be reunited one day. You know, look for the finish line at the end of the road when we're all in heaven. What a wonderful day it'll be when we're all reunited. You can't say any of that. They're very difficult. It's probably my biggest challenge is doing a funeral for someone that's lost because there's not much you can do. So this verse right here, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So those that are dead in Christ, that are buried, because what about our loved ones that are dead? I think I shared with you my dad, he died pretty quickly. And I said, Dad, you've only got a few weeks left. And he said at my funeral, I want a sweet hour of prayer, amazing grace, it is well with my soul. And are y'all ready for this one? This is what he told me to do. I was doing his funeral. I want Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. And I said, Dad, clearly the morphine's kicked in. I mean, it's quite obvious. It's quite obvious. I think the morphine's a little bit ratcheted up today. And he said, no. He said, at my funeral, I want Jesus talked more about than me. And I want people laughing and joyful because I know where I'll be. And he said, do not shed a tear. I want people laughing. I want happiness and joy and rejoicing. Because he said, for me, I'm just going to close my eyes and in a blink, you'll be with me. He said, y'all are the ones that I'm sorrowful for. I'm not sorry for me. He said, I went in the Marine Corps with a dollar in my pocket. My first indoor plumbing was the Marine Corps. My first bed was the Marine Corps. That he had his own bed that he got to sleep on. He slept on a sofa. And he said, when I get to heaven, it'll be streets of gold. I'm sure there's other Marines will be guarding those streets. You know the song. I said, I don't know about that. I don't know. That's theologically. I don't know if you're accurate there or not, but I'm not going to argue with you. But he said, for me, it'll be just blinking my eyes and you'll be with me. I grieve for you. Now, I did say, Dad, you put me in a bad spot with this Jingle Bell song, the Batman Smells version. Because if I do that, I'm still alive and people know me. And you know what they're going to say about me and the respect I had for my dad's funeral? The rest of my life, I'm going to have to bear that. And if I don't do it, then I got to carry I didn't do my dad's dying wishes. He said, I'll let you off the hook, but I want that story told. But I want rejoicing at my funeral. And I want much more said about Christ than about me. I'm not important. Christ is important. I wish we all, every Christian had that heart. That just said, I'm looking forward to the prize. He legitimately, yes, he's my dad. He's also my Christian brother. He legitimately said, for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. My reward. I would give the example, do you like Monday morning 8 a.m. or Friday payday 5 p.m.? Which do we most like? Well, he said, that's my world in my Christian walk. My payday's right at hand. All the rewards I built up in heaven that I'm going to get to cast back at the feet of my Savior. That makes it so much more joyful. And he said, I don't worry about, again, I thought it odd. He said, I just hope I make May 1st so your mom gets my next month retirement check. I thought, wow, that's an odd, he made it May 1st. Yeah, but anyway. We believe that God, so if God the Father raised Christ, one day when we're in the grave, God the Father will also raise us with that same power. We read in Philippians today, chapter 3, Paul says, I stretch forth the prize, I look forward, where I feel the power and I rejoice in the power of the resurrection. And then the next part, some hands went back down. We said, who likes that part? And I get to participate with him in his suffering. That part's not so joyful. But I'll tell you, there's joy in the suffering. There's joy when Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, if means you, then deny self. Who likes to deny self? When there's only one thing of pecans, pralines, ice cream left in the pantry, in the freezer, and there's four people in the house, I'm eating it. But he says, deny self. Pick up your cross. What is that a call to? Pick up your cross. Come die with me. It is a mature Christian that sees that and says, I get to participate in the dying to self. I get to follow the road, the path of righteousness that Jesus walked in. He's opened my eyes to see that's what's important. The dying to self, the sacrifice. That's why we celebrate Memorial Day. Yes, our eyes are on Christ Jesus and what he sacrificed for us. Our eyes also are on those men and women that have fallen in battle to say, I give you the right again, folks. I am really so, have so much gratitude for our military. When you see people around the world in some places I've been in that are just amazing grace, how sweet, just whispering. Why aren't you guys singing joyfully? Because if the neighbors hear us, they'll call the police. And I told you that a friend of mine years ago, he was our interpreter. He was a kid, 14 years old, stayed with us in our group. And he became a believer. He confessed his belief in Jesus Christ to my wife and my kids. We were there as a family on summer vacation in the Bacaw Valley. Oh, there's other places you can go to, too. But I said about confessing to others. And he said, well, I'm really worried about confessing to other people. I said, why is that? And he said, well, we used to have a Muslim prayer group. I'm a Sunni Muslim. They don't like the Shia Muslim, the Hezbollah. There's friction there. He said, I'm a Shia Muslim, and we're really kind of Orthodox. And two of my friends accepted Christ and confessed it to our prayer group one night that I'm a follower of Christ. They're 14 years old, kids, teenagers. He said, the next day, their heads were in the street. That's where he's growing up. So when I put that into context and think, I'm not terribly worried. We do have a security team, if you're wondering. But I'm not terribly worried about professing Christ from this pulpit, that people are going to come in here and shut us down. Certainly not the government yet. But there are men and women that have given us that right to do it, and they've laid their lives down so we have that right. I see a direct correlation between those two rights. Our right to worship freely, and that's because I think it's enforced by our military. Many people in the world do not have this right. Have you all seen that in China, the whispering church, I think they call it, where the same thing, they go out in fields where the crops are and they whisper their services in fields so the government doesn't find them. At the last church I was at, we had a Chinese church that we brought in, and I said, how many members do you have? They said, 250. And I'm like, wow, that's a pretty big church. Where are you? I don't see all of you. They said, we have 50 that meet here. We have 200 that are still in China. And we had to beef up our internet because China was shutting our system. They were breaking and hacking our church system so the gospel wouldn't get into China. I was thrilled that we were getting to China with the gospel message. And some of those people told me, yeah, we've got family back there that this is their meal for the week. This is it. And they've got to be very careful with where they are. They move around, different IP addresses. They were telling me stuff I know. Kevin probably knows. But I know not what they're talking about. They said, we got to change our systems, change our protocols, go to different IP addresses, cloak things. To worship? Yes, to worship. We don't have that. So I would ultimately also believe that Jesus Christ, when I say he's poured out his grace on this country, he's given us a religious freedom that most countries in the world, the most people in the world do not experience. They absolutely do not have this. I think that's a gift from God. So we remember that we have a living hope in Christ Jesus. I know that Memorial Day, as I alluded a moment ago, there are some gold star moms and dads and families. Gold star meaning they lost a child or a son or a daughter in the military in a line of duty. Many families remember this as deeply personal. The Christian message does not deny grief. We don't say that people don't have grief. We do have grief, but it transforms our grief. We can move past grief knowing that Christ is with us. Because Jesus died and rose again, those who trust him have a living hope beyond the grave. The grave's not the end. The grave is absolutely not the end if you're in Christ. And as we honor the memory of the fallen, folks, again, I keep going back, we have to thank our Lord Jesus Christ for the military. I regularly pray for them, pray over them. We thank for those people that have put on the uniform and taken that risk in their lives. For us, we have to thank God and live worthy of the costly freedoms and come to the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Memorial Day calls us to remember the gospel, calls us to believe, to hope, and to walk in faithful love. Folks, as we close now, as our praise team comes forward, also, if you'd like to join our praise team, we're looking for some more voices. They told me I can't sing, so they didn't let me in. But honor to those who honor is due. If you're visiting, I apologize for our regular members. Apologize on behalf of them. But folks, we do as a church family here, we do rejoice and we do. If you're visiting today, I apologize for Ron's behavior. But as we take communion today, if you're a believer in Christ and you've been baptized in like faith, meaning submersion, we would ask that you be submerged. No one's going to ask you if you take communion why. No one's going to deny you communion if you take why. The Bible says that each man examine himself. So you may want to just pray real quick, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, cleanse me as I take communion, you know, with you. And Jesus himself said, you do this in remembrance of me. So as we take this communion, this is also a very much time of worship. This is not just let's finish up and get out. This is also a time of communion with the Lord. So as they're singing, you may want a moment or two just to pray over yourself. And Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, if I need my heart clean, if there's something in me that is a sin pointed out, let me confess that to you as I take communion. Let me pray for you, and then we'll start our song. Father, we thank you for this message. Different than normal, Father, but Father, I hope as I prayed this morning, Father, that it was pleasing to you and honoring your Son, Jesus Christ, which is on my heart to do at all times. Father, forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us where we come up short. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for that you are a forgiving God. Thank you, Father, you are God that seeks all people and is the will of God that all men, all people, all women, boys and girls, come to saving faith through Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we know that is your will as you revealed it to us in your Holy Scriptures. Father, be with us now as we take communion. Father, if there's any sin in my life, Father, I ask you to confess it, forgive me of my sin, Father, as I take communion. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.